As we prepare our hearts and minds for the message, I want to invite you to bow with me in a word of quietness as we open our hearts. Amen. It is the weekend of June 14th, and that means it's Flag Day. Well, I want to show you my favorite two flags. These are the flags that were given to my mother and my Aunt Donna. Mom was 9 years old, and Donna was 11 years old. And on that day in the early fall, they stood on the sidewalk by the street, on the streets of Grand Forks, North Dakota, as the motorcade came down Demers Avenue, and there was Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the motorcade. I love this. I love this. I've grown up with these flags, and they're just such a part of who I am. But let me tell you deeper about why they are favorites to me. You see, my mother taught me some very, very deep and powerful things about patriotism. And she learned them from her mother. My grandmother came down from Canada when she was 17 years old. She came down in 1920 off the farm in Saskatchewan, where she had worked hard. That girl carried scars that were permanent for all of her life. She came down as an illegal alien in 1920 and settled in East Grand Forks. And there she got a job, and she established a family, and life was good. And when she was 21 years old, she began to vote, and she never stopped. She voted in every single city election, county election, state election, and federal election. And finally, over 20 years later, one of her friends said, "You know, Mary, if you're going to vote, you really should be a citizen." She had never gone through the naturalization process. And so she said, well, I should do that. And so one of the treasured documents that we keep in our family, it hangs on my sister's wall today, is the naturalization papers, the citizenship papers of my grandma. Here's what she carried out of a lifetime of commitment and involvement to her community and her nation. She believed that patriotism is not about a flag that you hold in your hand. Patriotism is about what you hold in your heart. Patriotism is about what we do for the good and the betterment of our community, our state, our nation. It's about what we do in the quietness of our heart that is reflected in the quiet actions that we share with the world around us. That was a powerful lesson for me to learn, and it transferred directly over into my faith. You see, my mother and my grandmother, my extended family, always believed the exact same thing about faith. They believed that faith is not about the jewelry you wear, the bumper stickers that you have on your car. Faith is not about showing up in grandeur to be in church. Faith is not to be worn on the outside. Faith is to be carried on the inside. They were very leery of the people who would constantly stand up and speak about it to the outside world. No, no, no. That's not faith. Faith is the quietness of the deep waters, the calmness that says that we are rooted in Jesus Christ, that we are rooted and fed by the nurturing waters of God in our life. This is what they believed, and this is exactly what they taught me. So now listen to these words that come out of Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So here's the question that we ask. Whose job is it? If you were to ask my mother, if you were to ask my grandmother, when it came to community and patriotism, whose job is it to do that? They would tell you, it is not the job of the governor. It is not the job of the president. It is not the job of the senators or the Supreme Court judges or our House of Representatives. No. Whose job is it to exercise community and build patriotism in our nation? It's our job. It's my job. It's your job. Waving the flag begins in your heart by building your community. And they said the exact same thing about faith. There was no question, if you were to ask them, whose job is it in your church? My mother would say, it's my job. My grandmother would say, it's my job. And then they would say, and it's your job. Whose job is it? Faith is not the job of the preacher. Faith is not the job of some of those in leadership of the church. No, faith, whose job is it? It's all of our job to share the love of God through Jesus Christ. All of us. So we ask the question here then, in our own congregation, in our own community, whose job is that to share faith? It's all of ours. Now, for those of you who are visiting us online today, the Spearfish United Methodist Church is this amazing group of people, powerfully intergenerational. We go from 0 years old all the way up to 107. There are five complete generations in this church, and all five are fully functional, and all five work really, really well and really hard to take the love of Christ out into our community, to share the love of God where it needs to be felt, which means that we love to lift up people into ministry. One of the ways that we do this is through what is called the Elisha Intern Project. And in just a second, I'm going to introduce to you our newest Elisha Intern. The Elisha Project means that we work with our Dakota's annual conference, and we identify college students who are wanting to explore more deeply, is there a call to ministry in their lives? What is God moving and working to do with them and in them and through them? All right, let me introduce to you Davis. Davis, come on. Davis Anderson is our Elisha intern for this summer. He will be working with us from the beginning of June all the way through August 21st. And it is just a joy to welcome him in. So we get to do tag team sermon today. We get to do this together, and I get to ask you those questions. So, all right, Davis, I want you to tell us, who are you? What do you want us to know about you?
All right. Well, I am Davis Anderson. I hail from Pierre, but I am a current student at Dakota Wesleyan University. I'm going to be a junior in the fall. My major is accounting, and I have a minor in Christian leadership. I do various things around the university, including Wesleyan Bells, the choir, the Highlanders Choir, and sometimes a small men's group, and that's just music. I do a few other things like tutoring, and I give tours to potential students, and so those are kind of the basis of what I do, but my main passion while I'm there is campus ministry, specifically that of the team that I'm on, which is the CARE team. I've been fielding God's call on my life for a while now, and so for me, the selection internship seemed like just the next step for what to go and where to go with that. So.
And it's a great step. Spearfish Church is so excited to be working with Davis this summer. And what's fascinating is that when we bring interns into this congregation, we do not put them onto just grunt work. We do not simply let them experience tiny bits of ministry here and there. We try to throw our interns in as fast as possible and to say, this is what we do all the time. Ready, set, go. Do it. So, Davis, you hear these words from Jesus that are saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let's ask God for workers. Well, in your experience, in your generation, in your education, where is the harvest today? If Jesus were here and saying, here's the harvest, where's the harvest?
I think he would say that the harvest is everywhere. It's you, it's me, it's the church, it's those people who aren't churched. It's the people who live out in the spearfish community. It's the people who live out in the countryside. Everyone's a part of the harvest. And so what I see the harvest as is people who are in a not good place. It's somewhere in their life. And to harvest them would be to bring them to a better place. And that's what Jesus wants to do. And so all around, everyone's tired. People get tired. We all get tired. We all get exhausted. No matter what we do, sometimes we feel like we won't be enough. We all have those moments. Some people feel that more strongly and at more times than others. Some people don't, but we all feel that way at some point in our lives. And so the harvest for me is taking people from that point of mindset and into a better one, a more at-peace mindset that Jesus can give. And so I see it all the time at college. Yes, we have great times. We go out and we have fun with each other and we goof off and we stay up way too late and we have lots of fun. But beneath all that is a lot of stress from schoolwork, jobs, activities that we're involved with, sports. You know, if I've had friends who feel like they're failing in their sport and it really weighs on them, even music. Band members, I've even felt it as a member of the choir, how I feel like I'm not holding my own. And all those things added on together, even, you know, the stress of being in too much and trying to be in too much, all that added together can really do a lot of harm to a person's mindset and psyche. And so a lot of times, you know, we'll all be laughing, and it's usually the person who's laughing the loudest who is the most stressed out because they're using that time of laughter to try and get all that joy out. And so yeah, for me, my joy looks a little bit different from other people. I'm what I like to call an introverted extrovert. So you're gonna have to hear a little bit about what brings me joy and how that's different from the typical college student. And so I'm kind of around the edge there between an introvert and an extrovert. I like being with people, but I don't like being with a lot of people. And so the COVID-19, while it's been awful, the guidelines have been great because groups of 10 or less, that's me. Anything more and I just overwhelmed. There's too many conversations going on and I just can't focus. So my buddy calls me and he's telling me about a campfire that they're having. I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds fun. Who's all going? And he's like, Brian and Melissa and Catherine and da 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 da. I'm like, oh, that sounds like 11 people. Yeah, I know that's only, including you and me, that's 12. And so I don't care if you think I'm overreacting, I'm not going. And so tell me if someone can't come and then I'll show up because I'd love to hang out with Eric, but I now have a good excuse for not showing up to those things without seeming like a jerk. At least not a complete one. But yeah, so those small groups are what give me joy. Those small groups where I can sit and I can play video games or sit around the campfire and either just goof off or talk about really in-depth topics. And I have that smaller group that can go that in-depth. So, yeah, that's what brings me joy. But then you get to the points where there isn't joy. And that's kind of what we're talking about with harvest is, you know, those people that it isn't joy. We all have the low moments in our lives, like I said. we all feel lost, and that's Jesus wants to find us. He wants to use not only himself but other people. He wants to use you and me and the whole congregation. He wants to use everyone to help find people a little bit by little bit. And so, and the people that Jesus went to, they weren't the people in the church. They were the people on the edges of this of society. It was the tax collector, the vagabond, the two fishermen who were just out fishing on their boat. He went after those people on the fringes of society, and he helped bring them into kind of a home. He took those people who were feeling lost, maybe left out, and gave them a place where they felt they could belong, even if it didn't completely fix all of their problems.
Good, good. Thank you. All right, here's one more question for you. One of the things that I love about serving in a church that is very, very intergenerational is that every generation brings their own set of skills and wisdom into the church. And so the skills and gifts that I have is as one in an older generation, and the gifts and skills that Davis brings in a younger generation are very, very different. When we talk about the harvest, everything is needed. All the tools are needed. Davis, what are the tools that you are bringing to the harvest?
So I feel like I bring a lot of soft tools, like not ones that are more out in front. So one of those is the ability to listen and to empathize. I'm not always the greatest speaker. If someone comes for me for advice, I usually give pretty cruddy advice, but I can sit with them and I can listen. Whether it's if they're sad and they have to tell me what they're sad about and go over all the classes that they're failing, along with the sport that they're not doing well with, and everything is just kind of crumbling down around them, and they don't see any success anywhere. I can sit and I can listen, and I'm not going to tell them to go to tutoring. Maybe I will later, but I'll sit and I can listen. I can feel their pain, and I think that's sometimes what people need. But then I can also change gears, and if someone's had a great day and they really want to tell me about their great day, even if I'm having a little bit of a rougher day, I can get excited with them. I can feel their joy. I can laugh with them and experience that joy with them. And the same thing with something has upset someone and they need someone to rant to, I can justify them. I can make them feel like they're justified in their anger and allow them to vent and to cool off on me. And so it's not necessarily anything that I'm doing to change them, but I'm allowing them to at least release a bit of that emotion and to take it on myself for them. And then another tool that I use is prayer. And for me, prayer is pretty cheesy. Like when someone says, oh, I'll pray for you, that sounds really cheesy, even though it's a huge part, and that's a huge part of what I do too. Even with helping and listening to people, I find that, you know, if I pray for them, then I'm in a better mindset to listen and to empathize. And maybe if it's even a person that I don't jive well with, if I've prayed for them beforehand, I find they're much easier, whether it's God working on my life and softening my heart or just the simple act of showing that grace to them inside, I find that I'm much more able to be around them and to be a help to them than if without prayer. And so I've really tried to integrate that throughout my day. As I'm driving places, as I see someone, I've got a whole list that I try and go through once a week of people with joys and concerns. And that's what we kind of try and do with our care team at Dakota Wesleyan. And I had a lot of problems with it at first because we're not out on the front line. We're not preaching in chapel. We're not singing music. We're not bringing the freshmen up and getting the freshmen into things. A lot of times it's when we have our meetings, we sit and we talk and we joke for a little bit, and then we say, okay, who's struggling this week? Who do we need to pray for? Who can we send a card to? Who can we put a card to in the mail? And, well, it doesn't feel like we're doing a lot, and we maybe have two or three events a semester, we really do. We take care of that aspect of what we need to do as a campus. There are other teams on our campus that they are out there and they're doing chapel and they're doing music and they're doing all this stuff and they're putting on events every single week. And that's their role. But our tools and my tools, which are kind of softer and more, you know, the person who I write a card for probably never has any idea that it's me who writes it. It's more that background kind of piece that we spread. And so, in addition to prayer, this one, I'm very analytical. And this doesn't really relate to people so much as it relates to, like, numbers. I'm a nerd. I'm a huge nerd, if you didn't get that already. I'm an accounting major, and that is one of the toughest majors on campus. And so to stick with it has been a struggle, but I love it because I get to go through everything and I get to make all of the numbers add up at the end, and that brings me joy. And so, like, when I go through a budget or something, my very first thing to do, if it's not done already, is I'll go through the expenses and I'll take them as percentages of the total thing. And so then after I've got my percentages done, I ask myself, okay, which one for me or for this organization is the priority? So if your preaching ministry is the priority, if that's number one, then theoretically more of the budget goes to that. Or if you're, you know, your Safeway cards, if that's what the church has made the priority, wherever the list is, you know, do the percentages reflect this? Can we tweak things to try and get that better? And so I bring an analytical mind that helps with kind of the more practical aspects that other people don't necessarily want to do because they don't want to sit and stare at numbers all day and add them and subtract them and divide them. But that brings me peace and it brings me joy. So, but yeah, none of these strengths are particularly evangelical. I know that word is used a lot. They're not outright evangelical. And I'm not going to be the person who, when someone's having a tough day, I'm not going to say, well, you know, if you turn to Jesus, all your problems will go away. I'm not going to say that because I don't believe that. And two, that's not me. I will sit with them and I will show Jesus rather than tell them what Jesus will do. I will show them what Jesus would do in the situation and I will try and emulate that with my actions. So I believe in connectedness, kind of a connectedness of everything. So I have to believe that all those little things that I do might do good to combine with someone like you, Scott, who's very good at speaking, who they've experienced it from me. They've felt that softness from my side, and then your side can help bring them even closer. So, yeah.
Good. Good. Whose job is it? It's Davis's job to do what Davis is equipped to do. And it's my job to do what I'm equipped to do. And it's your job to do what you are equipped to do. So, my friends, whose job is it? When it comes to the harvest, it's all of us working together with all the gifts that God has given us. And especially in these days, when we have so much on our plates that we are wrestling with as a nation, as a world, this is where we are really called out by Christ to be present in love in our communities. All right. Amen. Would you pray with me? And we get to bless Davis as he begins this journey with us. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we give you thanks for all the gifts that we have been given, we ask that you would send us out into the harvest. For each of us are equipped in our own way to share the love of God through that power and presence of Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, we lift up Davis as he begins this exploration of ministry, this exploration of his own gifts, skills, and abilities. So we ask that you would add the blessing. May it be that this entire congregation supports and loves him through this time as he searches for what is the reality and the foundation in his life. So we ask it. Lord, add the blessing. Amen.